it's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
Welcome, welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. I think, anyway, that I'm Gene Bolduc, your host, and joining me today to break it all down after our local municipal elections is Penny Rich, my senior political advisor and correspondent. Penny, are you over your hangover from election night last night?
Yeah, I certainly am. I stayed up later than I normally do, as you know, made my way from one party and just continued to walk down Franklin Street until I got to Carrboro and walked home.
Oh my, so, yeah. where Carrboro, where it's 1 degree cooler. You know,
that's right.
I talked to Ron Stutz the other day, and Aaron Keck and I talked to him about a thing that we're working on. And I said something to him about Carrboro being 1 degree cooler. He actually is the person who coined that phrase. According to him, there might, wouldn't that be great? We could stir something up.
We don't know, right?
But he said he said that he actually literally noticed it on a local weather report one day that it was like 65 in Chapel Hill, 64 in Carrboro, and that it was 1 degree cooler. And then it just took off. You just made the observation that, you know, a lot of people would say it's 1 degree cooler in Carrboro. And it just took off from there. And I thought, you know, I knew it. I knew it came from something like
something as simple as looking at the, you know.
Totally unintended. Right. Yeah. Right.
No, but it was.
If it was hotter, you could make it work that way too.
You could make it. Yeah, it was a good night, and I'm glad you asked because there was a lot going on, and it's nice that our local politicians and newly elected folks support the businesses downtown because, you know, we couldn't do that after the last election during COVID. So it was nice.
That's so right. Probably one of the more significant changes in a seat is Jackie Giss, a longtime Board of Aldermen member and then Carrboro Town Council member, was defeated last night. And I just want to say that I think it's a breath of fresh air when new blood comes into an elected body, even if it's someone whose politics you don't agree with, it's a good and healthy thing for democracy for that to happen. If there's another voice that's not being heard, or in this case, it's just probably a representation of Carrboro that this generation of voters needs to see themselves reflected on the board. Whatever the theory is about why it is that Jackie wasn't reelected, I certainly congratulate her on decades of, you know, devoted service to her town, you know, going to these meetings week after week after week for years and years and years takes a lot. You don't feel like it, you go to the meeting anyway.
Right.
It's 80% of the time, maybe more, a non-controversial and thankless job to serve on a town board. And nobody's getting rich off it. I mean, town council members get paid. Of course they get paid. Nobody begrudges them that. But the fact of the matter is that this season of Jackie's service has ended. I congratulate her on completing all of that service. I know that the people of Carrboro are grateful for it. I'm grateful for it. I've known her, gosh, almost all the time that she's been on the town council. I remember when Jackie was a fairly new member of the town council.
That's crazy.
Just how
it's like
old
30
I
years
am.
Ago. Yeah. I didn't mean to age.
Yeah,
you.
That's but right.
Yeah, you know, it's
that's
it's...
right. It was, you know, somebody the guy came out of the cave and discovered fire, right. And then Jackie's election results were announced.
There you go.
I'm gonna walk away from my camera for a minute here. I'm not really leaving.
But that's okay.
I know you join me in that that congratulations.
Having just
left a previous job of your own, you know that, you know, there's at least a sense of, okay, well, I'm done with that now.
Yeah.
That and, particular you know, job. There's lots right. of jobs.
And then you can move on. I mean, it'll take a little bit for Jackie she'll have to take a deep breath. And again, you know, she has a couple of more meetings before the end, so she could tie up any loose ends. And certainly I agree with you. I just want to jump back into, how Carrboro's changing a little bit, just like Carrboro and Chapel Hill. There are new people here that right. are, you know, new families have moved in and, right. you know, some of the older folks have moved away. And so it is a new generation of folks that are starting to vote. And, I think that, they see Jackie as Carrboro, there's no question about it. Right. And at the same time, you know, you're right. New voices, new eyes. It's a good thing. It's a good thing for the board. So yeah, I do. I also want to thank Jackie for her service. She will be getting lots of accolades and gifts and acknowledgments in the next couple of weeks. And I think it's lovely and well-deserved. Well-deserved.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And by the way, oh my God, I don't know how to explain how excited I am that Damon is going to be Carrboro's new mayor. I mean, yeah. I adore Lydia, would have been happy to see her reelected. She's decided to move on and be finished with that job and move on to whatever she's going to do next. I think Damon is just going to be a wonderful mayor. And here's my reason why. I have never seen an elected official who is more prepared for any given meeting, is more likely to have the facts in front of him that are relevant to any decision being made. I don't know anyone. I know people who are as thoughtful as he is as an elected official, but I mean, he's just got every single attribute that you want in a leader. And
that's right.
I think he's going to be a wonderful, wonderful mayor. Congratulations, Damon.
Yeah. And also, I mean, you know, Damon is so even keeled. I don't know if you've ever actually seen him get angry. I haven't. I mean, I know he brings his level
worry.
Up a little
what
bit.
What will happen if it finally
if he
happens.
Blows, right?
Yeah.
It's exciting though, because now he's going to have a new board to lead, which right. is good, right? It's good that he's got a new board. But Gene, let's think about it. Damon was in the middle of his term as a town council member. So there is an open seat on the town council now for Carrboro. And they have to make a decision whether they're going to appoint someone or they could go the route of an election during the primary. And I mean, I don't know if you've thought much about that either way, but it is an interesting concept if they do go for the election. Yeah.
I can't run. I just want to mention. I just want to mention. There's a little residency problem.
That's right.
I don't make these rules. I just have to live by them.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think Carrboro is saying twice blessed is not enough. Carrboro has a lot of terrific people living in those town limits. And I think that I congratulate, of course, Danny Nowell, who I don't know. I'm sure I'll have him on the show at some point soon, I hope. And Barbara Fushi, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
She works so hard.
She does. She always does. And everything she does, she works really hard at.
She does. When she's in, she's all in. And her vote count was very, very impressive.
Significant. Yeah.
So we've covered Carrboro.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say.
Uh-huh.
We're gonna take our first break. And when we come back, we can take just a moment. It's too delicious. We can just take a moment to, you're going to be surprised I'm going to say this. I want to talk about the Hillsborough mayor's race.
That was a challenge, wasn't it?
The Hillsborough mayor's non-race. So we'll take a quick break. You're listening to the Weekend Water Cooler. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill.
We'll be right back.
Okay, we're back with our senior political correspondent, Penny Rich. You know, there's a lot to go through here. I do want to let's kind of this is just an odd thing for me to mention, but Jen Weaver has been reelected as Hillsborough mayor with 96.81% of the vote. Which, God, considering that you're unopposed,
I guess there were some write-ins, right? I mean,
that says to me that the classic, you know, write-in of Mickey Mouse and so forth, you know, did capture a certain number of number of votes. But so congratulations to Mayor Weaver. The reason that this is so amusing to me, at least in part, is that it seems to me that the forces of, I hate to even say the right, but I'm just going to say the forces of contrarianism,
I like that,
love to attack Jen Weaver and for all things progressive that might be happening in Hillsborough. If you're looking to blame someone and you're online, then, you know, it's Jen Weaver. You can just put it on Jen Weaver. And that's gotten, that the kind of attack has been going on for a while. So like when she was, I'm sure, and you can verify this for me, as the previous chair of the county commissioners during last year, when, oh my God, to say that we needed our local government to be on the ball is not quite saying enough. But you and the mayors met on a regular basis for managing the county's COVID response.
That's right.
I'm confident to say that Jen Weaver probably was in favor of things like mask mandates and protocols that were to protect the public.
Absolutely.
And so this nonsense of making somebody wear a mask is an assault on their freedom, which is just pure BS. This stuff was, and I'm sure that some of this was directed at you too. This stuff was directed at Jen Weaver and you and Pam, I'm sure, in Chapel Hill.
And Lydia in Carrboro. Yeah.
And Lydia, to say the least, because it was a convenient mechanism.
Sure.
For it, just like, you know, you can take the same overlay and you can say, oh yeah, you know, education in Virginia, that was the big concern in the Virginia governor's race. Well, no, it wasn't.
No.
This was a cloak for fomenting fear, driven by critical race theory, which is let's just get this out of the way. It's not worth 10 seconds of our time. Is not a proposed or enacted curriculum in K-12 schools anywhere in the United States of America. It is not that. It is a legal theory. It is a thing that's over here, but sounds so concerning for
dangerous and scary
for rewriting history for political correctness. Oh my God, scary. Boom.
And no one can define it, Gene, right? They can tell you that this is why they're voting Republican, because they don't want our children to learn about critical race theory. And as soon as you ask them what it is, well, I don't know. I know what's going on.
I don't know, but I don't want it.
I don't want it.
We can come back to that. But anyway, I was so surprised to see, and this wasn't just a surprise from yesterday, but I was so surprised to see that with all that consternation in parts of Hillsborough, that they couldn't manage to come up with a candidate to run opposing Jen Weaver. That they just, and now this tells me that this is the objective. They just want somebody to rail about, and taking her out by electing someone else would spoil their fun.
Well, that's right.
It would mean that they didn't have a target anymore.
And the target, let's go back a second though, Gene. Their target is always on a internet platform. Let's call it Facebook or Twitter or whatever.
Right.
And not only are they kamikaze keyboardists behind there because they can hide behind their mask, some of them don't use their real names. I mean,
ironic use of that term, by the way.
I know. It's kind of, it's like, you know, I Nico Rubel and I am not a robot kind of names. Like,
I know.
That's real cool until you find out who they are. And then of course they're embarrassed and insulted that you're picking on them, but they're free to do what they want on behind that keyboard when they want to. So these attacks on Jen, you know, I don't know, do they come to a meeting and do the same thing in person? I don't think so. It's just so easy now to do it on a Facebook or a Twitter or Instagram or wherever else you're going to do it. And then it just gets multiplied and multiplied because people say they like it and they like it and they like it. So again, easy to do in the shadows of the dark, but when you have to come out to a meeting, it's never going to happen. Never going to happen.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm hopeful and optimistic that in the near months that we're going to return to in-person meetings being more common than virtual.
I sure hope so.
And that will tend to discourage a certain amount of this nonsense. And nonsense is the right word for what it is. It's just it's third grade, you know.
It's awful.
Gosh, it's
awful. Yeah.
At the risk of insulting third graders, I mean,
I don't see that.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
People. And you know, just to jump from local to larger than local, I suppose. The Virginia governor's race is going to be portrayed as a stunning upset. If Terry McAuliffe, who in my opinion is not a great politician, but if Terry McAuliffe had won re-election, that would have been a stunning historic reversal from the historical record of what happens in these funny off year. I mean, that's, you go back and look 20, 30 years and what happened here in this flip of parties, that's what's always happened.
Sure.
So it's really unsurprising. And for a guy who couldn't stop from putting his foot in his mouth, talking about parents being involved in their kids' education, it is of no surprise to me that he was not reelected.
Unfortunate, yeah. Because I think you're right. Everyone's going to use this as a recall on Biden because, you know, Biden and Harris were out there supporting him. Now let's not read into that too much, please, people. We still need to be strong and we still need to get the job done. Without getting blinded by this one election. And
it's actually the fact that the last I checked, and it, for all I know, it's been called by now, but I don't think so. The New Jersey governor's race has been very close and I don't think has been called yet.
I don't think so yet either, no.
That one worries me a little bit because I would have thought that the governor would be reelected there. New Jersey's a very blue state and I'm surprised that race is close. And if I were Biden, I'd be looking at that race, not
the Virginia race. I agree.
For something to pay attention to. But that's where I am on these, you know. And by the way, I'm a Red Sox fan, so I'm a little bit on. I'm living in a season of disappointment at this point.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Congratulations to the Braves. Come on.
Well, I congratulate the Braves, except that they couldn't keep that one fan out of the stands the other night. But but oh my goodness, I can't believe
they'll be disappointed though.
I have been night after night, to my own detriment, staying up late watching these baseball games.
Me too.
I had my COVID booster on Monday. The game was on last night, Tuesday, as we record here.
An election night, yeah.
And I slept through all of it. It wasn't really a choice exactly, but
no. Yeah, well, I'm glad you're feeling better now, though. That's
yeah,
what's
well,
important.
I, you yeah. know, I'm sitting up in a chair and everything, so yeah.
That's good. That's good stuff.
But yeah. we will, when we come back, we'll talk for a minute, just for a minute, I promise, about COVID boosters and what folks should expect. And kids can finally get vaccines down to age five. And I'm excited about that. For my nieces and nephews, at least, and the grandkids starting next year when one of them turns five, which I can't believe. But anyway, we're going to do, what is this saying? All right, so we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back. We're talking with Penny Rich about, mostly about elections, but, you know, whatever comes up. You're listening to the Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Okay, we're back with Penny Rich, who's in a mood.
Oh.
Yeah. Penny seems to be saying to me that I'm in a mood. She's in a mood, too. We're always in this mood. You know.
We keep each other amused. That's
yes.
why. Yeah.
Let's talk for a minute about the Chapel Hill mayor's race. Pam Heminger was reelected. Congratulations, Mayor Heminger. Is it Heminger or Heminger?
I always say Heminger, but I know a lot of people will say Heminger also. So I think yeah. it probably could be said both ways. I think she says Heminger, but that's
I mean,
okay.
yeah, I've heard Bolduc pronounced so many interesting ways. I am not the person to criticize anyone who would.
You know, Penny you know. Rich is kind of easy. Although I have to say, growing up, people were like, "Is your name Peggy?" And I'm like, "No. How do you get?" How'd you get Peggy from Penny?
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Because they just couldn't believe it.
They couldn't believe Penny Rich. Before you jump to Pam, let's just finish off Hillsborough. The two incumbents won the race also. So let's just congratulate both Rob and Kathleen. So
yes.
That they were out there and they did have a person running against them. So congratulations to them as well.
Yes, they did. Yeah. Although, I'm surprised at the very low vote count.
Yeah.
For anybody, you know.
Yeah. No, it is. It's low.
Maybe 1,000 people turned out.
Yeah.
Or it's something.
I think that's probably a little bit more than the last, municipal election. So, yeah, I know. It's not a whole lot of people. I mean, I think there were only about I don't know. Used to be about 7,000, probably closer to 10 now up in Hillsborough, but still it's pretty low. You know, it's a pretty little turnout because we've got Carborough, we got about 20 or so, and you know we've got more than that. But yeah, let's bounce back to Chapel Hill because there's a lot to unpack there for sure. So Mayor Heminger, congratulations.
So the mayor is reelected. This election was something of a proxy. I think it's fair to say.
Sure.
And it's Hogben, I think, was not going to use. I think you've mentioned to me was not expecting to run for reelection.
No, she wasn't.
Now the mayor's race in Chapel Hill is like in other towns. It's a 2-year term, right?
Correct. Every 2 years, right?
And the town council seats are 4-year terms.
That's right.
And so Hongbin was not going to be offering herself to be reelected to the council for 4 years, but decided, having been persuaded by something or other, that she would run to be mayor, and was endorsed by Chault in a high profile manner. I mean, it wasn't like when I ran for school board back at the dawn of time in 94, you get a bunch of endorsements, but they don't come out until like a week before the election.
Sure, yeah.
you can't do that much with them. I think in terms of persuading voters, of course, I'm sure that cycle has changed a lot in the many years since then, in part because of, we didn't have early voting in 94.
Right.
And so with early voting, if you've got people voting 3 and 4 weeks before election day, you have to have those endorsements
That's right.
Well, in advance, and then you can use them for what they're for, which is to influence people to vote for you.
Right.
The Chalt endorsement was intended to send the town a message about how people are really behind this and that people really support Chalt. But I'm very interested in what you were telling me about our good friend Tom Jensen's polling information about what voters think about Chalt.
Yeah, that was one of the questions. Tom put out a poll, I guess 2 days before election or so, and some people got it. I did not. I think probably because I live in Carborough, not Chapel Hill, so that's a pretty clear indicator. And you're in an ETJ, so you wouldn't have gotten that poll either. Interestingly enough, though, on question number 9 was, do you have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of the Chapel Hill Alliance for a Livable Town, also known as Chalt? And I think leading up to the election, there were a number of things that that Chalt and the Chalt PAC did that really turned people off. They became a group that seemed to be very toxic, as opposed to trying to bring us together and unite us. They were trying to pull us apart. So they did not get a very good, the answer to question number 9, the favorable rating, only 26%. Unfavorable is 40%, not sure 34%. So it doesn't vibe very well for them. And I think Tom said this last night on his coverage, that he felt as though they're losing their strength. But I think it's self-inflicted. I don't know that people are suddenly turning on Chalt. I think they're making people feel very uncomfortable. I don't know if you know, there was an article that was written by a high school, a East Chapel Hill high school reporter for their paper. And it was a good article. She did a really good job. She's a journalist at, a teenage age, she's not in college. She's not writing for a local newspaper. And Chalt and their leaders basically attacked her. They went after a high school student. This is not good. This doesn't show that you are here for the betterment of Chapel Hill. And I think that really hurt their candidates, including Hung Bin. I think that, people just got turned off by this, as they should, right. Gene.
We should not
have toxicity in our local municipal elections or, the county elections. It happened to me the last time, that's not how we should be acting or moving forward. And so, Hung Bin, I think she tried. I think she had a good idea. She didn't want the mayor's race to be uncontested. So, just like you were just talking a little bit about Jen Weaver. So she did put her name in there, but then she attached her horses to the wrong cart because they did nothing but bring on the toxic comments. So, you got to remember, Pam was found and brought on to running for mayor by Chalt originally. But it's that Donald Trump thing. Once you stop showing your loyalty, you're tossed by the side. And it's unfortunate,
as you say, I don't think it's that people have turned on Chalt. It sounds like the more that, I'm reminded of that, that PSA, the more you know.
Yeah.
That the more people understand what Chalt is and how they're advancing their agenda. My old ma used to say, say, it's how you say it.
That's right. My grandmother used to say something like that too.
The same thing, right?
Right. If you say it with honey, it's better to say it with honey than vinegar.
You catch more flies with honey than vinegar.
That's what I got, right? Yeah, all right.
And the fact is, and here's my adaptation of it. And I learned this through a friendship of mine with a woman who is all things Southern, which I am not. including the fact that she went to Duke. But you see, friendship... Friendship can get past these problems.
Right, exactly. We can unite nonetheless, you know? It doesn't matter.
But what my observation was, I am a person who's much more likely to come right at you, okay? Her approach is not like that.
Right.
And so what I learned in observing her, especially in dealing with people like this who want to just come after you without a basis, without a policy basis. They're just afraid of you. They just want to defeat you. And what I learned is that you will drown faster in honey than in water. And what that means is, you know, honey is very viscous, yeah, right? If you imagine being dropped into a vat of honey, I mean, if you like honey, it's probably not a bad way to go, but you would drown quickly because you can't swim in it.
Right. You would sink.
And so if you just are criticizing your opponent, but you're very, very sweet about it, it's just like a gigantic version of bless your heart.
Bless your heart
is what I'm talking about. Just
that's right.
You know, just bless your ever loving, God forsaken, evil minded, tiny, tiny little heart.
Right.
You're wrong about this, so and so. But if you're drippingly sweet about it, you'll just take them out even faster. Just have the civility.
People, well, so there's a big word.
People remember that about you.
Right. I know. And so, you know, this is, if we talk a little bit back past the mayor's race in the town council, it was toxic. I mean, you saw those road signs against Karen Stegman, and, you know, she came in as a top vote getter at the end of the night. And of course, they have to do, you know, the absentee and all that and count all those provisional votes. But, you know, it just doesn't work. People didn't like that. And, you know, this is all, I don't know who put those signs up because there was no byline on that, but this is all the cause and effect of this Chalt group that brings on this sort of, you know, toxic behavior and says, okay, this is okay. We could do this. We can talk about things that are unfactual. They were attacking people's person. At one point they were attacking Paris Milifouchi, who came in a second or third, I think maybe third. The three of them came in very close together, attacking her, saying that she has never been at a town council meeting. Well, guess what, Jean? No one's been at a town council meeting in person in the past a year and a half. I mean, how do you say something like that?
As a member of the public, you're not displayed on there.
No.
In the Zoom thing.
Of course.
And that is an unknowable thing.
It is an unknowable. It's so unfactual. Paris is involved in so much. The NAACP, she's on, you know, the police advisory board. She's involved in her community, maybe in different ways that the leaders of Chalt don't know, but they come and attack her and say she's never been at a town council meeting. I mean, that's unfortunate. But then again, like, if you don't have a local newspaper and if you don't have other means of information, what do you believe in now, Jean? I mean, because you're a journalist, you used to be, you know, writing. How do you get the facts? You know.
Well, you know, that's. The $64,000 question. At the risk of that dated reference, it would be the $64 million question by
now.
That's right,
but, yeah.
and for the youngsters among us, whoever you are, bless your heart for coming. Thank you for stopping in at the water cooler. That used to be a game show a long, long time ago. It's a $64,000 question. It was a corrupt game show, by the way.
Right, yes. The answers were given to some contestants. Yeah.
Yeah. Watch the movie Quiz Show and you'll be up to speed.
Yeah.
Great movie. Well, somebody asked me that question online yesterday, and the answer is a long form answer that has to do with funding. It has to do with making journalism either a viable for-profit enterprise. Or what I think is necessary is that most community journalism needs to become nonprofit that is funded a completely different way. But journalists, the short version of my argument is that journalists are people who journalism is a profession, not a hobby. And you need four journalists to be people who are doing this for a living and right. therefore get paid a reasonable salary. And that who are free of conflict of interest and will just write the straight facts, which, by the way, is much, much harder work than most people probably think it is.
Oh, absolutely.
It's really difficult.
Oh, you and I both write columns now for WCHL, which
I'm sorry.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, we're both writing columns for WCHL and loving it. But that 500 to 1,000 words that, you know, you want to make sure is factual takes a hell of a long time. It takes, because you want to be a credible reporter. You want to be right. a credible journalist. You want to be a credible columnist. What's going on Facebook and Nextdoor and all this crap? I mean, it is not credible. And that's where we're getting news from, Gene. And it's
there's no gatekeeping involved in the process.
No gatekeeping, no filter. No gatekeeping, no filter. And it's just garbage. It's garbage.
I mean, we love what we're doing for WCHL on Carrboro, chapelboro.com, which is basically, to be honest, the along with the Daily Tar Heel, who is killing it. I say this all the time. They are just killing it. And in the coverage that they're providing, it's vital.
Right.
We don't have the Chapel Hill Herald anymore. We don't have the Chapel Hill newspaper anymore. The local coverage that's provided by the NNO is inadequate. That's just
right.
They would say so. Yeah. And if they had more money to do what would be necessary, I'm sure they would do it. Let's pick up in just a minute. We have one more break and then we're going to come back with our closing thoughts. This is a big topic. We need 7 more shows for this.
Oh my goodness.
We're talking with Penny Rich, our senior political correspondent. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. Okay, we're back with Penny Rich, and we have just a few minutes. Penny, you have to tell me about the class that you're teaching.
Oh.
I'm just going to sit back for about 2 minutes and listen.
Yeah, you know, you just reminded me. I have to post the recipes for tonight's class online because I always do that beforehand, and I get so many good comments from it. But this is basically a class called Midrashah, and that is a continuation of your Jewish studies after your Bar Bat Mitzvah. Because a lot of kids that are teenagers don't have that ability to have that, that one-on-one anymore and learning stuff. So this is over at the Durham JCC, and we're doing Jewish Foodways, bringing in some guests, but just basically talking with the kids about immigration, where their families are from, and when they came to America, what did they bring with them? What kind of food recipes did they bring with them? Well, it turns out that, you know, the class is about 6 people, and Gene, you're going to love this. You would think that more girls would sign up than boys, but that is not the case. There's 5 boys and 1 girl. I know.
Fantastic.
It's pretty fun. It is. Tonight's going to be our first night in the kitchen. This is our third class.
So that's
great. We're ready to bring them in. Yep. Bring out the knives. Oh no, it's going to be a trip. I love it though. You know, I love being in the kitchen with anyone. These are teenagers. So they understand that knives are sharp and stoves are hot. So I don't have to do that portion with them, but we have been exploring, you know, recipes that came to us from these different countries. And most of the kids in this class have origins back to Poland. So we've been talking a lot about the 3 different groups, subgroups, the Ashkenazi Jews, the Sephardic Jews, and the Mizrahi Jews, which are the ones from the Middle East and Israel. So those recipes are kind of new, right? Because Israel's a newer country. But the Polish recipes and the Romanian recipes and the German recipes are, just fabulous. And the way that they got to America was from the grandma, right? Grandma Bubby.
Right.
She brought the recipes over, not written down. Nothing was written down. It was all in their heads, right?
Right.
So it's just so, it's wonderful.
I absolutely love this. I love the idea that you really can't talk about all this until you know who are you.
That's right.
And where did you come from?
That was the name of the first class. It's amazing that you just said that. That was the name of the first class 2 weeks ago. Gene, you could have taught that class. It was, who are you? Where did you come from? And what did they bring with them?
And what did you bring? Right.
I mean, these people were leaving because they were going to be killed. They were going to be persecuted, right, just like immigrants are today. They left right. with nothing. They packed their suitcase and they came to America. And, you know, they had to build their lives. So we've been doing this. The apple cake, of course, from Poland just hit the spot. And I brought it to a dinner party Saturday. I'm sorry. And because I was like, I'm going to make one. I might as well make two. And it, right? I mean, come on.
Yes.
So it's making its rounds not only through the class, but also into dinner parties now. So I'm really excited about this. And I got a couple of more weeks and we'll follow up on, we'll get responses from the kids afterwards.
Well, the next time we talk, this is all we're talking about, because I have so much stuff to tell you about my family genealogy.
Oh, this I want to know.
This is a project that I've taken over from my dad. He and I have worked on it together for probably a decade. And now it is as we might say, entirely in my lap.
Which is great. You know what, Jean? You know what?
Gigantic.
I know we only have a couple of minutes, but you know what's really cool about this is that the teenagers that are in this class, they go back. They had to go back about 4 or 5 generations to find out when they were immigrated here. I'm only going back, 3 or 4. You know, so we have these kids that they have to go back a whole lot more to figure out who they are, what they are, where the food came from that they eat, the traditions. So yeah, let's do it. Let's
make a show about this. Oh, it's fantastic. Yes, yeah. We have to do this as soon as possible. It's always my joy to speak with Penny Rich. I thank you for coming on the show and sharing your time with us. And I just, everybody, now the election is done, just chill out.
Take a breath
and have some cake.
That's right. Okay. Apple cake from
just,
Poland.
You know what, Penny? Let's start a campaign of putting signs all over the place randomly that just say, "Have some cake."
Have some cake.
Who doesn't love cake?
Dollop of ice cream.
Just have some cake.
Have some.
So when anybody hears that, they're going to know it's us. So if you're going out this weekend, folks, mask up. And if you're staying in, keep it right here on 97.9 The Hill.
Follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Bolduc and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.